whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Ben Scully, Hank Stram, CBS Sports, the anniversary of the catch game. And it sparked a dynasty and it changed our expectations forever when it comes to 49er football. Montana, Dwight Clark, and the Niners would advance in the Super Bowl where they would beat the Bengals in Pontiac, Michigan at the Superdome, 26-21. And as we get to playoff football, all these memories start to come up. Earlier today, I saw on Instagram, Andrew Luck and the Colts coming back against the Kansas City Chiefs, down 38-10 at the Lucas Oil Field. It's like, wow, Luck to T.Y. Hilton. And T.Y. is doing the T.Y. dance, and Andrew Luck is doing his thing. But, man, that ages like fine wine. 1981 NFC Championship game, Candlestick Park, man. What a day. I wasn't bored.
My favorite part about all those highlights is the crowd.
Crowds.
The guy in the all-white suit.
Oh, the pimp suit.
Oh, yeah. God. It's
I wonder who that guy is. I always wanted to know who that guy is.
Well, they did. The Chronicle had done some sort of like a deep dive trying to find all the people in there. And I forget if they found that particular individual. And then there's always like, on every 4 or 5, maybe 10 years, you get like a Sports right. Illustrated article when Sports Illustrated was the thing.
Right.
Where did the ball go?
Right.
And like 6 different people claim they have it on their mantle, you know, because Dwight flipped it to a ball boy or whatever. And yeah, that whole sequence is incredible. I mean, one of my favorite books, The Catch, that changed the dynasties for 2 different teams, and going through what it meant to the Dallas Cowboys was the fascinating thing for me. Seeing what it did to Drew Pearson and Danny White and Tom Landry and Randy White, and oh gosh, it's just incredible.
Changed the course of NFL history, where the Niners won 5 Super Bowl championships from the 81 season to the 94 season. And when we think about the playoffs this season, which begin tomorrow, first game that's kicking off the slate is Jim Harbaugh's L.A. Chargers against the Houston Texans. And in these playoffs, history is going to be made. It's either we're going to see the Kansas City Chiefs win 3 Super Bowls in a row, which they would become the first franchise ever win 3 Super Bowls in a row in the Super Bowl era, or somebody's going to knock them off and make history, and Mahomes is going to lose on the way. But something's going to pop off in these postseason. By the way, shameless shout-outs coming up at 7:45. Shameless shout-outs, 7:45. Line them up, 888-957-9570. If you want to shout-out Draymond Green, if you want to shout-out the Warriors for a win, if you want to shout-out Shanahan and Lynch for their presser, you want to shout-out Brock Purdy, you want to shout-out your local high school team, you want to shout-out your local grocery store, 888-957-9570. I already see some shout-outs on the text line that we'll get to at 7:45, but when you think about the history that that catch brought to the 49ers fandom and to this city, and the times where the city was down and out, it was down and out, and they picked it up, and they lifted it up, and they ended up lifting up 5 Lombardi trophies, 3 under Walsh, 2 under Seifert. What's going to be that team? Who's going to be that team that rises to fame in about the January, early February? I'm really excited about this postseason because, in a way, I'm a little refreshed where, you know, with the Niners going through the playoff run, there's a lot of stress. There's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of doing deep dives on everything, and you're freaking out about the team. And you're like, oh, man, one bad play could change the fortunes of your season. But now Shanahan and company get to sit back and watch, kind of steal some plays, pick some things apart, see what they did wrong, see what they could do good, see what they could add to their roster. But when you think about these playoffs, who's got the most to gain? What team, what player, Shasky? Who's got the most to gain with these playoffs? Let's start there.
Most to gain?
Yep.
Well, the obvious one would be the guys that don't have championships currently, right? The Lamars, the Josh Allens, you know. I was just saying, like, the way you say most to gain, like, I'll give you a list. Why don't you give me some NFL music, and I'm going to rat-a-tat-tat these, and I want you to give your perspective on some of these ones, because I was saying pressure, but most to gain is actually, it's fitting.
Well, you want to do pressure? We could do pressure. You could do most to gain.
Because I have people playing with house money, and then I have people playing with the most pressure. Mm-hmm. So here's the most pressure. Here are some of the guys that I think are playing with the most pressure. We'll start right here. Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson can go in one of 2 directions. He wins a playoff game. It's the first Steeler win since 2016 in the playoffs. Does he get a contract extension with the Steelers?
So you think he has the most pressure?
I do, because you know why? he could put himself in the Derek Carr zone with another loss, meaning no real true contender is looking at him like a long-term solution.
I put Russ in the house money category.
Okay.
He got traded to Pittsburgh. They're in the playoffs again. He's had his struggles, but he's got a Super Bowl. He's got one chilling at the crib. Now, was he the leader on that team, quote-unquote leader? I don't really care if he was a leader or not. He's got a Super Bowl ring. So I think he could gain a lot. He's one of my guys where I'm like, boy, he could gain a lot.
I mean, I think he played himself out of the Hall of Fame the last couple of years.
Well, that's why I think he could gain by winning a game or two in the playoffs. Right. And maybe he catapults himself back into the Hall of Fame conversation.
What about Mike Tomlin? Mike Tomlin has a ton of pressure. You know, this is a guy who never had an under 500 season, hasn't won a playoff game since 2016. Does he have a lot of pressure?
He does have a lot of pressure on him. He does have a lot of pressure. Are you just going by teams, or this is your list of top
this is my
guys?
List. Wow. And it's coaches and players. Wow. And then I have the house money list. But I'm looking at this combination. Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. I think they both have a lot of pressure. Jalen Hurts just to get on the field, number one. And then Nick Sirianni. If anything goes wrong with Philadelphia, he's going to be the guy that's going to get blamed. And they've had a monster season. I think that they... If they're not your favorite coming out of the NFC, I think they're your number two for most people. I think they should be the favorite. I think he's got a lot of pressure on him.
Okay.
You don't think Sirianni has any pressure?
Oh, no, I think he has some pressure, but I'm interested. I'm a little surprised that those are the first three to four names you came up
with.
Well,
I've got
more pressure.
I've got more.
This is like the top four most pressure guys, right?
There's no order on this.
Okay, there's no order on this. Right, see, I have an order.
Okay.
I have an order of most pressure and most engaged.
I've got McDermott with a ton of pressure. Now, we know Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson have their own individual pressures to win championships. To me, they're combo ranked number one. But I think Dougie McDermott, it's not Dougie, but I think McDermott has a ton of pressure here, because if you're Belichick, you're just salivating to get that Buffalo job. If you're one of these other guys like a Ben Johnson, maybe that becomes open in the next couple of weeks. Buffalo cannot lose early in these playoffs. I think McDermott has a ton of pressure on him.
See, I rank my pressures. I rank mine. The guys who has the most pressure and guys who have the most to gain in the playoff run. The most pressure in these playoffs, in my opinion, is on number one, Lamar Jackson. And I love Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Baltimore's had an iconic offensive season. All right. Lamar Jackson's probably in line to win his third MVP. The guy has accounted for over 40 touchdowns, only thrown four interceptions. The guy's never thrown better in the pocket. And he has King Henry, where Saquon was so great. We didn't even talk about Derrick Henry running for 1,900 yards. Think about that. Derrick Henry went for 1,900 yards, and Tennessee let him walk out the building.
1,200 in just the second half.
Right, there you go.
That's incredible.
So without Zay Flowers against the Pittsburgh Steelers tomorrow, they're playing their bitter rival in Baltimore without the top wide receiver, Zay Flowers. Lamar Jackson in these playoffs, to me, has the most pressure out of any player in this league. He's got to at least get to the AFC title game, and that may not be good enough coming off of last season's AFC title game against the Kansas City Chiefs, where he turned the ball over, threw that egregious interception in the fourth quarter. To me, it's by far, in a way, Lamar Jackson number one as the player with the most pressure on this roster.
Real quick, you guys are talking about Mike Tomlin in this game, and it's Steelers-Ravens, obviously. It's an iconic matchup.
It is.
You just think of Joe Flacco. You think of Ben Roethlisberger. You think of all the hard hits in this series. John Harbaugh hasn't been to a Super Bowl in 13 years. If they get one and done with potentially the back-to-back MVP, do you start thinking about John? Maybe it's like, would you be surprised if they move off of him?
I'm not there, but I
hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. Now, number two is the obvious one, Josh Allen.
Well, yeah. See, two quarterbacks are pretty obvious. But
I'm saying my third will surprise a lot of people.
Who's that?
It's going to be Sam Darnold.
Well, yeah, got to plan for money.
Sam Darnold going to Glendale, Arizona, as the game between the Rams and the Vikings have been moved from SoFi Stadium due to the fires. And again, our condolences go out to everybody suffering and evacuating down in L.A., man. It is heartbreaking to see what's going on down there. But that game's been moved to Glendale, Arizona. And Sam Darnold, who a lot of Niner fans, I remember Gene at the Doobie Awards had a passionate speech about going to get Sam Darnold. And then Sam Darnold turned in that performance on Sunday Night Football in front of a nationally televised audience against the Detroit Lions. This is the first playoff game as a starting quarterback in the league.
Well, I thought his first playoff game was last week, even though it wasn't technically a playoff game. And I thought that he failed the test. Well, and that's to be expected.
Now, how is he going to do in this test against the LA Rams? A team that already lost to this season, by the way, on Thursday Night Football. I think Darnold, when it comes to all the players, and I'm just looking at the players right now because coaches, Tomlin definitely is up there when it comes to pressure. Sam Darnold, a lot. He could win a lot of money. He could earn a lot of money. He could earn a lot of kudos if he could get a win or two in these playoffs because Minnesota won 14 games.
So I got two more quarterbacks that I'm going to throw in there and one more head coach. All right. Are you done? Do you have any more?
No, we're kind of oscillating.
I like Justin Herbert also with a lot of pressure. And the reason why I like Justin Herbert with a lot of pressure, a lot of people are still like, can you win a playoff game? You know? And I think that, you know, the guy on the other side of the field, C.J. Stroud, he had a sophomore slump this year. I think a lot of people are waiting to see what he does in these playoffs to either be like, see, we crowned him too early, or to say, hey, the guy bounced back after a subpar expected season, even though there were some injuries from those wide receivers.
Well, his offensive line is awful.
They've
been penalized the most in this league, and this is why I caution Niner fans by, you know, when it comes to Brock Purdy, he's like, look, man, you need every C.J. Stroud's a perfect example of why you need good offensive line play, and you need help on the outside.
Of course.
Larry Tunsil's getting called for holdings and false starts over and over and over again. But I look at C.J. Stroud, and I look at Justin Herbert as guys playing with house money. The Chargers were not expected to be in this spot. We thought coming into the season that the Chargers, who the hell is he going to throw to? Quentin Johnson? Ladd McConkey, a rookie? J.K. Dobbins coming off of injuries? Really? The Chargers, I think, exceeded expectations. And I think he's a guy who's playing with house money, and he has a lot to gain in these playoffs. And C.J. Stroud, sophomore season, been up and down. I don't think he has as much pressure as, say, some of these other guys in the league.
No doubt. Like, Lamar and Josh are on a whole other platform than those. That's why, to me, those two are just way – they're off to the side. That's the obvious. I do think there's pressure for Justin Herbert. 23 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Can you do it with limited weapons? Like, I think that he can earn a ton of respect league-wide.
He's in my house has money. The most to gain category here, Justin Herbert.
Here's the other guy that I'm looking at, and I think this one is a little outside the box. And Spinoni, thank you for helping me curate this one. Dan Campbell's going to lose both his assistants, it feels like, heading into the offseason. You know, I think they've got a lot of pressure on them, just in the sense of when you don't win the Super Bowl, when you've been one of the best teams in the league after a couple of consecutive seasons, that boulder on the shoulder gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And now you got to go through the coordinator hiring cycle. And we know it can be difficult. As the Niners know, it's really difficult to replace high-level assistants. I think there is some pressure on Dan Campbell heading into these playoffs. Even though that defense is awful, I it feels like there's some pressure on Campbell.
Well, Detroit, when I think about Dan Campbell and the Lions, when you lose a game that they lost last year in January to the Niners, leading 24-7, I remember Dan Campbell's quotes after the game where he addressed his team and said, you know, we may never get back to this point. So they're dealing with that, playing on that stage, saying to ourselves, what are we going to do when we have a lead? What are we going to do when we're in this situation again? And they're the number one seed in the NFC. So all your home, you're getting all home games. You're going to be in the dome. Whoever you welcome in that second round, it's going to be a tough matchup, whether it's Tampa Bay, whether it's the Rams, whether it's the Vikings. I do subscribe to some Dan Campbell and Jared Goff, for that matter, who got the big money extension, as having a lot of pressure on those lines, because this could be the last time they have Ben Johnson. Obviously, he's going to get a job somewhere. And Eric Lane, who's their longtime defensive coordinator, because they all helped build this thing up. What does it look like? Do they have anybody in place in store? I believe Dan Campbell's a good coach, and I still think the Lions have pieces to be really, really good for the foreseeable future. But when you if you lose in these playoffs, if you don't win a Super Bowl, then it starts to mount up the pressure of not winning that big one.
Exactly.
So I subscribe to that.
Yeah, all right. So I've got some house money teams. I know you referenced a couple. Feels like the Broncos, Sean house Payton, money. Bo yeah. Nix. Boy, they're playing with house money, right?
And that defense, they're getting 8.5 against Buffalo. I'm very, very interested to see how that game goes. Like, it will shock a lot of people if Denver won that football game.
Their defense is really good.
But their defense is really good. And Bo Nix is balling. And they could run the football.
They lose that game. McDermott, just pack it up. right? I mean, that's what I'm saying. McDermott's got tons of pressure.
Yeah, I think they have the most pressure, Josh Allen and McDermott, outside of Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, wow. All right, the Commanders, they're a year early.
House money.
House money, right?
House money.
You know, Jaden Daniels could throw 17 interceptions in this game, and yeah. I'll still think he's a good quarterback.
It's house money.
Right?
It's all house
right.
money.
What if I said the Rams, because of everything that's going on in L.A., you know, like, and they've got a Super Bowl already, and I know that they had a pretty good year this year, but, like, given the real off-the-field stuff, just the horrible tragedy that's happening right now in Southern California, they got to be, like, because football feels so secondary to people losing an entire community and their homes and their belongings and their memories.
Yes, it has nothing to do with that, but I hear you on that one because I put the Chargers in it for that same
Chargers
argument.
Chargers too, yes.
Justin Herbert and them, they're playing with house money.
I always think of them as
the Rams before the season. Guru's been taking a victory lap about this. What's when he that? Came at you when you were like, name a Rams defender, and Guru got stumped because he picked the NFC West division as the LA Rams being the champions of the division. By the way, shameless shout out to the 11 minutes, 888-957-9570.
Hey.
They're playing with house money, big time house money. Not even close. Nobody expected the Rams to win a division. Nobody could name a defender on their team, although we could because we watch college football. So Fisk and Verse on the defensive line. Rams, yeah, they're playing with house money. You know what? They're a live dog. They're a live dog.
All right. This is a rare one. The quarterback has all the pressure. And why do I feel like the head coach is playing with house money? Kevin O'Connell, the Vikings. I feel like no matter what happens in the playoffs, it's not on Kevin O'Connell. And I'm not even mad at it. I'm just saying, like, I feel like he's earned all the equity. And if anything happens, it's, well, you know, Darnold, you know, I mean, look what he did.
Yeah,
like, he's in, like, the Shanahan zone almost.
No, he's fine. He's in a good spot.
The most obvious one of all time. I mean, Mahomes and Reed. They got more house money than anyone.
Yeah, there's no
Scrooge
pressure.
Scrooge McDuck.
There's no pressure on them. Although... Yeah, no, there's no pressure. There's no pressure.
Maybe Steve Spagnuolo, who's doing, you know, head coaching interviews right now, if he pitches some shutouts in the playoffs, maybe that pushes him over the top.
Yeah, well, if he gets lit up.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
They're getting healthy on defense, though, Bonte.
They're
not getting lit up.
They're getting healthy everywhere.
If they win their fourth, okay, they win three in a row, they win their fourth, how many more for you to, like, say, maybe Andy is – not better than Belichick, but on par with Belichick. Does he have to equal the amount of Super Bowls?
For me, he's already on par with Belichick. To me, the amount of championships, that's secondary to me right now because I look at the impact you had on the game of football.
Interesting.
The impact you had in the game of football and the way you evolve. Belichick, over the years with New England, was able to evolve, whether they became a defensive first team, to becoming a Brady-led team, to becoming a defensive-led team again, to becoming a run first team, to becoming a wide-open passing attack. Belichick evolved the same way Andy Reid has. Andy Reid, traditional West Coast offense, two-back system, quarterbacks taking snaps under center. They've evolved, and he's studied the spread game left and right. Now you look at all the motions Kansas City does, all the trickery, all the gimmick stuff. To me, Andy Reid is an offensive mind in this game, and the way he's impacted quarterback play, he's already on par to me with Belichick.
Wow. I can't get mad at that entire argument. I mean, if they go on to win it this year, that'd be six Super Bowl appearances for him and four wins.
Yep.
And then...
and countless championship game appearances.
Absolutely.
And think about how many losing seasons he's had over the course of his career. Three.
Yeah, it's crazy. Three. Now, what about Mahomes? If Mahomes can win a fourth, now he will have a Super Bowl loss on his resume, but it feels like that doesn't stick to him at all.
Oh, well, he's on a Mount Rushmore quarterbacks. He wins another one.
Well, does he jump over Montana for you?
Yeah, he does.
God, that sucks to say out loud.
Well.
No,
I'm going to take that back.
He would have four before the age of 29.
Nope, I'm going to take that back. Because I look at his Super Bowl wins compared to Montana. Montana lit the Dolphins up. Back the truck up, baby. Montana lit up the Dolphins at Stafford Stadium. Okay. He lit up John Elway and the Denver Broncos. He led the game when he drove through and had a marvelous game down at Joe Robbie Stadium in Super Bowl 23 against the Cincinnati Bengals. When I look at Mahomes' wins in the Super Bowl, I look at the Niners' miscues. Jimmy Garoppolo, Chris Jones dominating. Now, the Eagles game was very impressive. Mahomes
was on a broken ankle.
He was unbelievable in that game. Unbelievable. I give him that one. Then I look at the way the Niners snuffed him out last year. Kansas City's defense stood out to me in that Super Bowl game.
Well, couldn't you make that argument for Joe's first Super Bowl?
I said that. That's why I just started with the Dolphins. Three of his wins, Montana was definitely all Montana. I look at two of Mahomes' Super Bowls, and I say his defense, his running game, and everything else.
Okay.
That's how I view it. That's my opinion.
I mean, this guy is literally putting on.
I'm not diminishing him. He's
greatest
great.
Resume. God. He's one of the ultimate winners in sports.
I didn't say he wasn't.
Can I add one to the most pressure / most to gain, and it's not a player? It's going to be someone in the broadcast booth.
Tom Brady.
Some people think he's gone already, though. A lot of people are thinking during this coaching cycle with the Raiders now, he's going to be part of these interviews. They're talking to Ben Johnson today. A lot of people seem to think he's gone. Do you guys think he's one and done?
Yeah, I do. And I think he should be one and done because I was starting to warm up to Brady and his last couple broadcasts. I'm like, yeah, I don't think he's good. I don't think he's good in the booth. I don't think he's an H. I don't think he's a number one team type of guy. Greg Olson's the best color analyst. And then you get
Troy Aikman. Player like,
Troy Aikman, Greg Olson, Charles Davis, Tony Romo. Like, those guys are so much better than Brady. Brady struggles to just answer a basic question from Kevin Burkhardt. I'm out on Brady in the booth. I'm out on him.
What's funny to me is, like, Brady in the locker room is clearly beloved because he's, like, himself. Brady, the second the camera goes on, turns into corporate Brady. And it's like, it's not good.
Yeah,
I probably like Brady on TV more than most. But yeah, it has not been great. And it does feel like, how can you do the broadcaster job if you're going to be so involved with the Raiders? Just run the Raiders, dude. Like, if I was the Raiders, I would pay him whatever he's making for Fox and then some and say, be our John Elway, Buster Posey, president, I'm doing air quotes, president of football ops or whatever. How, for Raider fans, how does that sit? Like, the guy with the tuck rule and all that, like, that's got to be weird.
It'd be a poetic ending, though. It's the guy that forced you to be miserable for two decades, come back, and then he turns you into a winner. There's a Disney Channel movie in there somewhere, but anyone but Mark Davis at this point, if you're like, seriously, though, like, he's failed on these coaches, Dennis Allen, Jack Del Rio, John Gruden, Josh McDaniels, Antonio Pierce. Like, he's failed miserably at this. Tom Brady can't be any worse at evaluating talent. And listen, maybe he's Michael Jordan with the Hornets, right? Maybe he's like that. Maybe he's player X who is very good at his sport, but not a good GM. Or maybe he's Jerry West.
Or Larry Bird.
Exactly.
Somewhere in between.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Like, so we'll see.
Here's what I always think. Like, if you love the sport and you love competing, it's so hard to fill that void.
Yep.
The closest that you can do is coaching or being a GM. Mm. So when I view Brady, I view a guy that misses the competition. And I think that he'd be great in one of those roles.
Yeah, I'm out on Brady in the booth. And I think if Raider fans were open to it. Now, who's going to join Tom Brady and Mark Davis? He's got to nail this one. Because Mark Davis has been an awful owner. Awful. You go one and done with all these coaches and you're hiring rejects. It's just, Raider fans deserve better. And I want the Raiders to be good because the NFL is better when the Raider Nation is good, when the Raider fans are taking over stadiums and they're playing deep in the AFC playoffs and that's silver and black with the Darth Vader mask and everything. The Raiders, it's time they flip the page. It's time they become relevant again and not become the butt of all jokes. I'm dead serious. That fan base deserves a winner. And hopefully Tom Brady can help them deliver that. And who the hell they hire as a coach, I don't know. But they need a winner. They deserve it. They deserve it out there in Las Vegas.
I had seen a stat. I thought I'd screenshot it. I'm trying to find it. The Raiders' record since moving to Vegas, it's like 44-70 or something.
I mean, just look at their record over the last 25 years.
Maybe I had.
They're not 4-70 since moving to Vegas. I know that because they did go to the playoffs at one point.
That's not right.
Not
good.
Two playoff appearances since 2004?
Yes. Against the Texans, where they had Connor Cook playing his only game as an NFL quarterback, and they lost to Brock Osweiler because that was the Derek Carr season on Christmas Eve where he broke his leg, which is brutal.
Yep.
And then, just a couple seasons ago when they beat the Chargers on the last game of the regular season to make the playoffs. And it was a really good game. They had a chance to win it against the Cincinnati Bengals, who ended up going to the Super Bowl that year.
And Derek Carr threw a shorter to goal line.
Yep.
Who's your Super Bowl prediction, guys? Super Bowl game and winner. What do you got?
I'll go first. I had it on the pregame show already, and I'll stick with it.
Oh, thanks, Dibs.
Eagles, Chiefs. Eagles win it all.
Eagles, Chiefs.
That was my preseason prediction.
That would be the worst possible combination of teams in the Super Bowl for me.
It would be the worst
combination. For my fandom.
Not feeling good about this A.J. Brown injury, though. They're 1-2 without A.J. Brown this season.
Yeah. Is he out?
He didn't practice yesterday, and he's dealing with a knee injury. So.
Yeah, because I like the Eagles, too. If he plays, I don't know. The AFC is tricky for me. I don't know if it's going to be Baltimore, Buffalo, or Kansas City. I guess I lean Kansas City because they're going to be playing at home. They're still tough to beat at home, Arrowhead Stadium. But I do have the Philadelphia Eagles winning the entire thing. I think the Philadelphia Eagles have the best roster. I hate saying this. Wow. I hate saying it. Crossing Broad, if you're listening, I have you guys celebrating down Broad Street. Saquon Barkley had a CMC-like impact on that football team, and it's undeniable. Undeniable. Jalen Hurts, I think, is a good quarterback. And the game is easier for him with Saquon Barkley. You hand it off, and teams are like, damn, we got to go 8 in the box and leave Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, and A.J. Brown at 1-on-1 coverage in their defense. Jalen Carter is going to become a household name this postseason. Cooper DeJean is a problem. Quintel Mitchell at quarter?
Quinyon Mitchell.
Good player. I got the Eagles winning the whole damn thing.
I got the Eagles losing this weekend because I don't think Jalen Hurts is going to play. I'm telling you, if Kenny Pickett plays, I don't like them.
Jalen is practicing. He's going to play.
No helmet, though, right?
He's past the concussion protocol.
Yeah, he cleared it.
I thought he wasn't wearing
a helmet. He cleared it yesterday, right?
He cleared it yesterday. Yeah.
Okay, because I saw a bunch of Jason Dumas stuff, following my man Jason, and he didn't have a helmet on. They're like, no helmet yet. Anyway, I got Bills, Lions. I know. Lions have no defense. Trust me, I understand it. I'm rooting for those two cities, those two communities, those two families.
I would love to see Detroit.
That's what I want. I want Lions, Bills, and I'm going to pull for the Buffalo Bills to win their first ever Super Bowl.
I would love for either of those teams to win a Super Bowl, Buffalo or Detroit. That would be great.
I will anybody take a Philadelphia. Raven in this one, too.
I would love for Lamar to get one.
Yeah,
no
I would.
Doubt.
I would, real, too. That would be fun.
Real quick on Jalen Hurts, who was a full participant in practice yesterday, and a player must be cleared by an independent neurological consultant before returning to full participation. So he's on track to play Sunday.
There you go. I got the Eagles rolling the Green Bay Packers. I think the Eagles are going to win the whole damn thing. I hope not. I hope it's Lamar. I hope it's Josh Allen. I hope it's Jared Goff from Marion County. But my mind says Philadelphia. Carter, what you got?
It's going to be the Chiefs. It's going to be the Chiefs. I would bet the Chiefs first the field, in fact.
I know.
Last year, everyone bought into they were having a down season. They just rolled through the playoffs, had no issue at all. And this year they're at home. They're 15-2. I know you guys have seen the stat too that they're the only team that I don't think scored 30 this year that had a winning record, which is insane. I mean, and there's a reason for that. This team knows how to win. This is their time.
408 asking, has a three-peat happened? Not in the Super Bowl era.
About to watch it.
No team has ever three-peated. By the way, I saw this little ducky duck. Who put this in there? Carter or Spinotti? Trent Dilfer for the Ravens won a Super Bowl at the age of 28. Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl for the Ravens at the age of 28.
No way.
Lamar Jackson, guess how old he is? 28 years old.
32. No. That can't be real. That cannot be real. Dilfer's 28.
It's real.
Flacco's 28. Lamar said, I love those kinds of weird like coincidences.
I am pulling for Lamar.
I am too.
I want him to stick it to Bill Polian, who said he should have switched his position going into the draft to being a wide receiver.
Well, Bill was wrong. The Chiefs get so lucky that the freaking Bills and Ravens are going to end up playing each other.
Stick around.
That's
going to be a hell of a game.
God.
Wait, real quick. The Chiefs get so lucky. They're 15-2. They earned it. Come on. Like, there's no luck involved at this point.
To the Raiders.
They should have lost to the Broncos. They should have lost, but they don't because they're a good team.
This is the NFL. There's going to be tough games.
Also,
it's going to be close games.
The Bills completely outperformed what they were supposed to do this year.
Right.
Yeah. That's why
too. Yeah.
It's hard for me to say like he has that much pressure on him. They lost Jordan Poyer. They lost both their receivers from last year. They lost their center. I mean, they lost so much in the offseason.
Yeah, but you know, you start getting up there in age, and you know, you eventually you got to win one.